Welcome to the podcast of Tower Hill Church. This is Pastor Jason. Hope you're having a great day today. We are finally in real time in the podcast. I know that we had missed a week because we had some technical problems with last week's podcast, and then I was away for a couple of days. So if you're listening, if you're a subscriber, you will get two messages today in your feed, which I know is incredibly exciting. But listen, hey, go for that extra mile in your walk or in your run, and maybe you listen to both back to back. Anyway, this week's message, it really meant a lot to me because it's all about seeing God orchestrating things in our lives. You ever get that sense? You ever have that feeling that God he set something up just for you? He set something up and you realize it and you think to yourself, you're like, I don't know, is that coincidence? And the more you think about it, the more you're like, I don't know, the coincidences keep stacking up. It can't just be coincidence that God has delivered this moment or this circumstance or this relationship into my lap for a very specific reason. And I think that is, whenever that happens with me, I don't know about you, but when that happens to me, it's a comfort. Because oftentimes I look at the world and it's like, man, is this thing spinning out of control or what? Like, where's God in all this craziness? And it might be easy to get discouraged and to think, well, God's not in control. But then something happens and I'm reminded, no, wait a second. Wait a second. God's still in control. He's still in control. Yeah, things don't always look it. But there's never a point in time where he is not orchestrating things for his good, for his kingdom. And it encourages me to keep my head up. Don't get discouraged by the disappointments and the failures and the struggles, but be encouraged that God is in control and he is moving, he is orchestrating. What is that line from C.S. Lewis from the Chronicles of Narnia? God is on the move. He is on the move. So anyway, I hope that you enjoy this installment of Until the Whole World Hears. Pray that you have a great week.
Today, I want to talk a little bit about this phenomenon that happens. Maybe for you, it happens when you're innocently walking in a shopping mall, or you're going to a music store, or maybe you're hanging out, maybe it's in the car, where you hear music that you don't realize you're hearing. You ever have that happen? You have music you don't realize you're hearing, and then you go, and then all of a sudden, it comes up in another part of your life, and you're like, wait a minute, I know that. What's that song? Or you're just like, how do I know every word to this song? This is crazy. I didn't think I knew this song. Or like, if you have kids or grandkids, so you go to the grocery store and the cashier says, thank you. And you're like, what can I say except you're welcome, right? So like every word to every Moana song, that's our house. That's like, and you don't even know you know all the words until somebody brings up, oh yeah, I know every single word. It's weird. It's like we can pick this tune out that we don't even realize we're listening, but when we hear it, we're like, that's it. I know that song. How do I know that song? I think this is a lot like my spiritual walk with God. Every morning I get up, every sunrise, when I'm hugging my family, when I'm having that good conversation with a friend, when I'm crying with a friend, when I'm being generous, when someone else displays Christ-likeness, I feel like I'm hearing God's tune, God's song that's been playing in the background of life since before the creation of the world, this song that has spanned through the generations, through the millennia, God playing his song. And for us, listening and hearing and identifying it. And so that when we hear that tune, we can say, oh, I know that one. That was my story when I didn't know God. I was introduced to the song. I was introduced to the tune. And I felt like, wait a minute, I know this song. I feel like it's been playing in the background my whole life. And I just couldn't identify it. When I hear it, I often realize that I know this tune. You see, I think God is like a conductor, and he's been conducting this song. And this tune's been going on. Go to the next slide. This tune has been going on, and God wants us to join in the orchestra. God's song has been playing, and God's tune, he wants us to hear it and to join in. If you ever get to see Lauren, where'd Lauren go? If you ever get to see Lauren direct the choir, I feel like this is God in us. This is God in us, because I wish you could have a camera on you when you're directing the kids, because it's awesome. She's so animated. She's like she's doing all this like stuff, and she's smiling at you, and the kids are like, you know, they're into it. Just like that. I won't do it again. The kids are into it, and I feel like this is God with us. He's like, yeah, come on. Come on, buddy. Join in. Sing loud. This is it. We need the whole world to hear this song. I want them all to hear my tune, and I want you to sing along. I want you to play the instruments. I want you to jump in. And more than that, he's orchestrating. You know how a conductor kind of knows which piece of music is coming next and is making sure that it all flows the way the conductor wants it? This is what God is doing. God's orchestrating life itself. He's orchestrating the world and all the heavens. And yes, he allows it to go through the brokenness it's going through because he's going to redeem it. And in the process, though, even in the midst of the brokenness, he is directing God's people, and the tune plays on. And I feel like our job is to follow where that tune leads us and say, yeah, I know that one. Let me play along. This requires both a willingness and an ability to listen for where God's tune is playing. Because it could just play right past us. It's like a radio. And radio waves. So radio waves are passing through us constantly. It's a little scary, actually. I'm sure there's some study that we won't ever see about how that's bad. But radio waves, but we don't just hear the music on the radio unless we have a device that helps us tune in. And we tune into the song. And those waves become the tune that we listen to. It's like we have to be receptive to God's tune if we want to hear it above all the noise of life. Last week we talked about Paul and his life. He started off as Saul, a Pharisee, a persecutor of the church. I think sometimes when we read Paul's story, we might over-dramatize the fact that like he was a villain and then now he's a good guy. When I feel like he was just being him. He thought he was hearing God's tune, but he heard it wrong. And Jesus is like, bam, no, wrong tune. That was not it. But I mean, I imagine he was trying to do right by God, even though he was doing the wrong thing. I think that's happened a few times in our world or in our own lives. We think we're doing what God wants, and then God, no. But see what happened, he was going to Saul, no, come on, listen, I want you to sing this tune, this new thing that I'm doing, where not only am I going to change your life, but I want you to take this ministry to those Gentiles, the people that you're preaching against, those people that are unholy and unclean, and they're not obeying the law. And you have to understand what a huge deal this was for the Jewish people in Jesus' day, especially a Pharisee like Paul. He was fighting uphill against every single thing he thought he knew about God. So the Gentiles, here's the problem with the non-Jewish people. It wasn't a problem that they were bad people. It was a problem that they weren't clean. They weren't made holy. They believed that the way you were made holy is by ritual, ceremonial, being made clean, being holy. And if you did not go through those rituals, you could not be clean. That's why they didn't eat at the same table. They believed it was a no-go. That they were the unclean. They were still trapped in their sin. We have been made clean, so we don't eat with them. They don't follow the dietary restrictions that we follow in order to be clean as God's people. They don't do all those things. They live their Gentile way of life, which oftentimes in Roman culture, you've seen movies, was pretty depraved. We can't associate with them. And then God, in this tune that you think you're hearing God say, no, I'm giving my Holy Spirit to them too, had to be crazy talk. Because not only were they fighting against the Ten Commandments, right? The law wasn't just the Ten Commandments. But 613 commandments of the Midrash, plus thousands of commandments that were rabbinical interpretation of those 613 commandments. So, for example, keeping the Sabbath holy. There are so many things that you had to think about in order to keep the Sabbath holy. One of those things was work. What did it mean to do work? You weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. There were 39 categories of that defined work, all with subcategories of their own. And a Pharisee like Saul believed you had to follow those or you could not be made clean. And this whole thing about the Gentiles being included was a ridiculous thought. In fact, if you remember, even in the temple, there was a dividing wall in the temple. And that's a fragment from the actual wall. A dividing wall in the temple that basically said, no intruder, no Gentile is allowed in the courtyard and within the wall surrounding the temple. Whoever enters will invite death for himself. Not the friendliest sign, right? But this was meant to protect the Gentiles as much as keep God's space pure. There was a wall. Paul calls this the wall of hostility, the dividing wall of hostility, dividing wall of hostility in the book of Ephesians. And that Jesus has torn down that wall. But they were still trying to figure that. They're still trying to hear God's tune because this was really, really confusing. Now, you know, God, the orchestrating everything, making the symphony play. So while that's happening with Paul and he's opening him as an instrument, he's, remember, my chosen instrument to the Gentiles, to all the world. At the same time, meanwhile, with Peter, he gives Peter a vision. Peter has a vision. It was this wild vision, and he knows that it's from God. Go to the next one. So Peter has this vision of a sheet being lowered with basically all the animals that would have been considered unclean. And in the vision, he's told to kill and to eat of those animals. And he's like, I can't do that. That's a no-go. That makes me unclean. And then what God says, the voice spoke to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. So he hears this and he starts chewing on it. And of course, what happens the next day is that three representatives from a Roman centurion, a Gentile, go to call Peter and say, Peter, will you come with us? We need you to meet with someone. And so you watch Peter process what God is doing in him, God orchestrating all of this together. And that's where we jump in to our scripture today in Acts chapter 10, verse 24. The next day, Peter started out with them. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius, this was who sent for him, this Roman centurion, was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. You see what he's doing? It's like he's hearing this tune from God. He's like, that's the tune. I'm going to play God's tune. Even if it means everything I didn't understand. You know, even if it means something that seems to go against what I thought I knew. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. I think this just struck me just now. It's a reminder that God speaks to whomever he wishes, including non-believers. That most of us are believers because we felt at one time in our life God spoke to us. God hasn't disqualified us because we don't believe. It's just, are we willing to listen? God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. No pressure. Impromptu sermon, go. This is wild what happens. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. He works this out, even though it was difficult, even though he didn't totally understand. He's like, no, wait a minute. I went to Cornelius' house and I saw God there. I heard God's tune. What do I make of that? Well, it must be God, what God wants. I feel like this is the mystery of the Christian life, as we're going to where we hear God's tune playing. There's a really great game show. I wonder if you, how many remember this? It's old. I used to watch it with my mother, called Name That Tune. You remember this? Remember this show? This is such a great show. Why is this show off the air? So the $100,000 Name That Tune. So this show was so fun, if you're a music lover. They had this orchestra in the background. The idea was they'd pick a song, like a contemporary song, and you would have to name that tune according to the number of notes that they played. So this is a little how it would work. So you would have two people against each other, and one person would say, I could name that tune in 7 notes. Oh, yeah, everyone's, oh. And then the next person, I can name that tune in 5 notes. This is like the double dog dare, right? Skips right over. I can name that tune in 3 notes. Name that tune. And then they would go and they would play the song and the person would try to name that tune. I feel like this is what's going on with Peter. This is what's going on with Peter. I know that tune. I can name that tune right away because I know it. I know it by heart. I can name that tune in 1 note. That is God's tune that is playing in your life, Cornelius, in the lives of all these Gentiles that it's not even supposed to be working with. And I feel like us, as followers of Jesus, we need to learn how to name that tune and to point out that tune as it plays throughout the world and in our lives. And so, listen to what Peter says. He says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel. Right? He said, you guys, you get it. Gentiles in the room, you get it. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you brought your Bible today, or maybe you want to on your bulletin, mark verses 39 through 43. If anybody ever wonders, what is the gospel? We say the word gospel all the time. What is the gospel? Those verses are the gospel. That's it. That's the gospel. That we were dead in sin, that Jesus died on the cross, and through faith in him, we have forgiveness of sins. That's the gospel. Mystery solved. If you're wondering what the gospel is, you just mark those verses down. That's what it means. And that it is something that is proclaimed. This is why we, in the Protestant church, this is a big reason why they went away from the Mass as the center of the worship service to the sermon. The reason being because they believe the good news must be proclaimed. That's proclaimed from the Word of God. And it's through the proclamation that we hear and we come to faith. This is exactly what happens next. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. We have a tendency to just like blow right past that. The Holy Spirit came on everyone who heard the message. And you think Peter and the other formerly Jewish, or they would consider themselves currently Jewish, disciples had to be thinking, what in the world's going on? Even the Gentiles? How is this possible? I thought we were divided. I thought there was no way that this could be overcome. They are impure. They are not made clean. It challenges everything we believe. How is this possible? Verse 45, the circumcised believers who had come, that's the Jewish believers who had come, with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. That was the proof. The proof was what they did when they received the Holy Spirit, now the Gentiles were doing. They're like, that's God's tune. I can name that tune. There's no other explanation. That is the Holy Spirit. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So we ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. I see in this couple of chapters of the book of Acts, I see God orchestrating everything together. Here's Paul, and here's Peter, and here's the disciples. And this whole thing is about to go to the whole world according to my plan. How I want this song to go. And everybody join in and come with me. And as you can imagine, this was a big challenge for the early church. It was the biggest challenge. So what did they do? They had a session meeting. No, just kidding. It was actually more like a presbytery meeting. But anyway, they gather in Jerusalem over this one question. It was the first council of the church. It's the Council of Jerusalem. It's in Acts chapter 15. Where they gathered together because of this one question. Does God want us to include the Gentiles? We seem to be hearing God's tune. Let's all verify that we're hearing this correctly. And so there was some debate. And it was all over, you know, how could these people who are not made clean, how can they all just be clean? All of a sudden. And it was a gut check. It was a gut check for the early church to consider, are we saved by the law, or are we saved by Jesus Christ? And they all kind of realized, well, yeah, it used to be one way, but now it's Jesus said. You know, and you think they're thinking about all those times that Jesus spoke with them and taught them. Jesus said, no, if we confess in him, then we are forgiven. At some point in the meeting, James, the apostle James stands up, and this is Acts 15. Verse 19, he says, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. In other words, 613 laws, actually like a couple thousand rabbinic interpretations, down to 3. Like, we have to do something to distinguish Gentile living from the way the people of God live, because Gentile living was pretty depraved in the Roman culture. You've seen movies, right? It was pretty depraved. So let's just make them follow these 3 that we think are the most important. I mean, could you imagine? This was huge. This was a huge change. But they all said, no, no, no. I can name that tune. This is God at work. We know God's voice anywhere. You might not totally understand it, but this is what we're called to do. And so Paul and Peter heard God's tune. They recognized it. But that wasn't it. They didn't just tune in the radio. They played along with. They realized he was orchestrating everything, and then they grabbed their instruments, and they played. And this is what God calls us to do. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to sing along. It's another thing to participate in God's song. And maybe you've experienced this before about God orchestrating things. Maybe you've had something in your life happen where you feel like only God could have orchestrated it. The coincidences are just too many. And perhaps you've seen God at work in that. But I think the natural question that comes up is, okay, well, how can I recognize God's tune when I hear it? And this has to be with being open to God. Even if you're not sure what you believe, you've probably prayed in your life before, at least once. You've prayed. I would just start there. That's a spiritual practice, that you pray, God, help me to hear your tune. If you've put your faith in Jesus, that's going to be a lot easier to hear. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus, you're going to struggle with that. Because you see, the way that we can identify God at work, God's tune, is the Holy Spirit in us says, yeah, that's God's tune. How do you have the Holy Spirit in you, dwelling in you? Through faith. So you see, faith is the key that unlocks the process. And I want to encourage you, if you have not put your faith in Jesus, what do you have to lose? I mean, really? You think, well, I don't know how my life's going to turn out. You don't know how your life's going to turn out anyway. You might as well trust God, who loves you, who has a plan for you, who's got a purpose for you. And if you follow this purpose, if you play God's tune, you will be fulfilled in a way that you could never be otherwise. How do you recognize God's tune? You got to be open to hearing it. Say, okay, God, I'm here. And then how do you play along? Because that's the other part, right? You got to play along. You already have the instrument. You are the instrument. God wants to use you to sing his tune for the world to hear. And that sounds really big, but all that really means is God wants you to be you being for God. He doesn't want you to be someone else. He doesn't want you to be me. He doesn't want you to be someone else. He wants you to be you. He just wants to be the version of you that's being you for God. You are wired a certain way. You have certain personality quirks. You have certain gifts. Spiritual gifts. You also have skills that you've acquired over the years. You are who you are. God wants to use that. He wants you to be you being for him. And they think, well, okay, but I don't know how to do that. Well, that's why it's so important to get connected with other Christians who have been living this life for a while. That's why we don't just encourage you to come to worship. We encourage you to get involved in a small group or a Bible study, a men's group, a women's circle, a youth group. We encourage you to get involved because that's when you're hanging around other Christians, that's how that process begins to unfold. Even if you don't want to be that formal, just find a couple people you like that are Christians that you think aren't too weird. Because that's always the thing, right? I don't want to hang out with the weird Christians. They might say something crazy, you know. Hang out with people this summer at least once. And then you start asking, like, okay, what does it look like to be for God? And then someone says, well, I don't know, but for me, this is what I do. And someone says, I don't know, but for me, this is what I do. And after a while, you're like, okay, I kind of get it. And we all can help each other to do that. That's how you learn how to play along. Because here's the thing, we got to learn to name that tune. We've got to. Because we have a world that is absolutely deaf to God's tune. And as a result, they are hurting profoundly, deeply. Even the people that we would look at and we'd be like, they're a success. They are not content. There is no peace until we find that peace in Jesus. And I don't say that, I don't say that as like judgment. I just say that like we need to help. The most loving thing that we could do is to offer Jesus, the Prince of Peace, into people's lives. Keep doing that until the whole world hears.